Welcome to the 12 cast, the official podcast of the 12 point. To learn more, visit at the 12 point on Instagram. And now, let the show begin.
Well, hello, hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Deucecast, presented by The Deuce Point. My name is Rain, I'm a team member of TDP, and I'm so excited to welcome you to Season 2 of The Deucecast. Today, we're going to be starting off with, of course, the Is It a Hot Take series, and we're going to be going through all the songs at Eurovision 2024. So, today, you're probably wondering what are the four songs that we're going to be looking at? Well, today we're going to be reviewing Frances Slimane with the song Mon Amour, Ireland's Bambi Thug with the song Doomsday Blue, Shekia's Aiko with the song Pedestal, and Albania's Besa with Zemrën Nëndore. So those are the four songs that we are going to be looking at today, and let's just jump right into it. So that was a snippet from France, from the artist Slimane with Mon Amour. And before I kind of get started with talking about the song, this song was actually revealed really early this year, all the way back in November. I opened Instagram and I was like, wait, France is announcing a song today, but it's not even December or January. So I don't know, it was really unexpected. Usually France does release their songs a little bit later. We saw with like La Zaha, I think Baba Pavi in 2021 like went all the way to the end of like the selection season before releasing Voila. So it's a bit of a surprise that France decided to go so early with it, but I'm kind of glad they did because Mon Amour is a truly beautiful song. I at least speak a little bit of French myself, so I'm able to really understand the lyrics. So it's a really beautiful story weaved together through Slimane's writing. I don't know if actually Slimane wrote the song, but the song in itself is beautiful. And what else do I have to say about Slimane? Slimane is one of France's most like talented artists, also one of the most well-known artists as well. There was a song, one of my favorite songs of Slimane was with Vita, the song Avant Toi. Again, a very like global, like globally famous song as well. Slimane is known for like getting that really big like global appeal, and I think this would be very useful in Eurovision this year because, it's going to be a very competitive televote year, especially considering the artists that we have selected already. We're looking at a lot of televote favorites now, so we're going to need someone who can get that good jury televote balance. And I think France can do that job very well. I think Slimane is very popular worldwide, so I think it should be really easy to get a lot of those televote points. But I also think that, obviously because this is a French ballot and Slimane's voice is perfect almost, that this will get a lot of jury score as well. Honestly, when I first heard this song, I was like completely blown away, and I didn't even have like much to talk about in the beginning because it was just so like beautiful almost. It's so beautiful, and it really stands out to even the songs that we have now. It really does stand out as that first like powerful song because we really don't have many ballads selected so far. Again, this is being recorded before the around end of January, so we only have a few songs, but we only have one ballad, and that is Mon Amour. And I think this is the standout ballad. I think this will be the standout ballad for the year because it's Slimane. It's I don't, it's kind of hard to conceptualize more about Suleiman, but, so we know that France is, of course, a Big Five country, so obviously we don't need to worry about the semifinals, but I think even if Monaco was in the semis, I think it would still easily qualify out, because, again, while it's a big jury song, it's also a good televote appeal as well, and we saw with last year's Michael Mignoni with Due Vite, that songs that have big jury appeal can also have big televote appeal as well, because Michael Mignoni got a significant amount of televote points as well, so that's something to consider. But yeah, so Suleiman is only one of two internal selections so far, the other one being Raven from Slovenia, which we'll be talking about in another episode. But yeah, so actually what's interesting about France is they've moved away from this like really rigid national selection. So last year they internally selected La Zaha. However, beforehand, 2022, 2021, 2019, 2018, they all were done through Destination Eurovision and C'est que vous décidez, which are their two national selections. So it's kind of good that they're kind of moving towards that like internal selection now. Obviously, with the big robbery that was Evidemment last year, obviously very robbed. 16th place was ridiculous, especially considering many people were considering La Zaha to finish in the top five. We're hoping that Mon Amour can kind of change that. I mean, already it's like seems to be really, really fan favorite. It's rated really high at 4.7. And Mon Amour is a really like general song, but it also can be really personally relevant as well. Like Mon Amour translates to my love in English. So this is something that can be like a really famous romance song. And who knows, this could be something that could chart globally. I really love the line that says, there's a few lines I really like. One of them is, mon amour, je ferai tout ce que je peux en hochant dans le feu, l'impossible, c'est de le vœu, which says in English, my love, I'll do all that I can, create an ocean in the fire, the impossible if you want me to. And again, this really just speaks to, like, the level of, like, writing in the song, as well as the fact that Suleiman's voice carries the song as well. If you look towards the ending, that says like the line "Est-ce que tu m'aimes," which means "Do you love me?" Like this, like is like being said all over and over and over again, but it sounds like it's different words because Suleiman is just like making them so powerful that you're like, whoa, like you really feel something while listening to this. Of course, we don't have too many songs again to pick from, but I would say in my prediction that Suleiman finishes in maybe top seven at the max, like at the minimum top seven, maybe top five. I would say that maybe top five with juries for sure and top 10 with televote. But again, we do have to wait for all the songs. So, of course, as we get more songs and as there are more Is It Hot takes, we'll know more about what it looks like for the jury and televote predictions. But I think Suleiman is a very good contender for top five, and I wouldn't be surprised if it finishes top three either. It's an amazing song. It seems to be a very fan favorite. A lot of people have it ranked as their number one or number two. And, yeah. It's honestly just a really beautiful song, and just bravo to Suleiman. Thank you for bringing France a beautiful song this year. And the next song we're going to be moving on to is from Ireland, and that is with the artist Bambi Thug with their song Doomsday Blue. So that was a snippet from the song Doomsday Blue by the artist Bambi Thug, for who is representing Ireland at Eurovision this year. And of course, this is the third song selected this year from a national final. We're kind of going out of order here today, but the first was ESCZ from Czechia. Then we had Festivali Kengelit, Festivali I Kengis from Albania. And then we have the Late Late Show Eurosong from Ireland. This is going to be a hot take, so let's start off with a hot take. I love this song. Usually, you would not picture me as someone who really loves ballads and really soft pop songs, but to love something like Doomsday Blue, which is like clearly a lot of metal and rock inspired. But I think Bambi Thug does an amazing job at blending the lines between genres, and I think this is demonstrated profoundly through their impactful transition between metal and soft pop. I mean, like, the way that they were able to just seamlessly transition between that, like, grunge and that, like, yelling sound, not even yelling, but like that, like very loud vocal style into that very soft, like, very soft line for the Doomsday Blue line. Beautiful, honestly. Honestly, amazing song. When I first listened to it, I was a little bit confused, and I kind of followed everyone's opinions about, like, Ailsa's Gotobin as the favorite, but over time I kind of did find my I found Bambi Thug's song to be the most appealing to me personally. I really love I love their work. Also, I love that they're providing more non-binary representation to Eurovision as well. I believe the last non-binary artist to be in Eurovision was all the way back in 2021 with Roxen. However, correct me if I'm wrong. I love that as well. I love that for them. RTE's final at the Eurosong was a mess, respectively, because I did end up watching Luxembourg the next day, and night and day, honestly. Because while I watched Ireland's final, it was glitchy, nothing was, like, going on tune. I honestly don't love the structure of the final at all. Firstly, why not just have, like, semifinals or a final or something and move it away from the late show? Honestly, I don't love the concept of the late show. It just seems super messy and unorganized. This is more of a critique on the national final almost, but it just seems super messy, super unorganized, super, like, discoherent. The songs seemed to be, like, really poorly staged. There was no emphasis on staging budget on here. Didn't love that, especially considering while watching songs like Bambi and Ailsa, both the songs had really poor pixelation, and like the instrumental was way off on Bambi's song specifically, like to the point where you could hear them so loudly because the instrumental was lagging so much behind, like in terms of like noise, so it wouldn't like match up properly. So that was like, I don't know, RTE was messing everyone's songs up. But honestly, Bambi, the underdog, they were second, actually, no, they were third or fourth at this right before the final. It was right before the final, third was Next in Line, second was Ailsa, and first was Erica Cody, which I don't know why Erica Cody had 55% odds when the song, in my opinion, was not great. It was a bit boring, so I don't know. I did think that right before going into the final, Ailsa, for pronouncing your name wrong this entire time, with Gotobin was predicted to win Eurosong. I was kind of surprised at the results. I don't trust that international jury now. I really don't trust them. After both national finals I saw on that 26th, 27th of January weekend, both of them messed up my favorite songs to win. The international jury only gave 6 points to Gotobin, 8 points to Doomsday Blue, 10 points to Eric Kokodi, I think, and 12 points to Next in Line, which was abysmal because we don't need any more boy bands in Ireland for quite a few years, in my opinion. So honestly, I know I've really strayed away from talking about Doomsday Blue, but I just really wanted to mention that about the Irish National Final. I really didn't enjoy. If I had to rank them, Irish National Final would probably be like on that like next like that line with like ESCZ, because both are kind of equally bad. I don't know. I get Ireland has to do a national final, but why this way? Like, there's so many alternatives, and but I'm just happy that the underdog won, and Bambi Thug is going to Eurovision. So I just want to break down the song a little bit first. So Doomsday Blue is like, it's a juxtaposition of words too, because you have Doomsday, which is like this very like evocative fear emotion, and then you have Blue, which is this sad song. Honestly, I'm surprised with the amount of hate that's going to Bambi right now. I think they're doing an amazing job, and especially considering they have stated that they might be interested in adding some Irish into the song as well, which would be great. We love to see more Irish Gaelic in the song, or Irish. I don't know. Yeah, that would be awesome. I would love to hear that in their song. So like, I like the lyrics, like the Ava Cadaver, I seek to destroy, like that repeating line. That's like, that's really fun to add in. Yeah, honestly, it was a really like well put together song, and despite all of RTE staging malfunctions and limitations, Bambi pulled off an amazing, unique performance. And I think even those four judges, I don't know if they're part of the jury or something, but I didn't like them being there at the end and critiquing every song after they performed. It seemed like a pointless waste of time. But they actually seemed to really love Bambi Thug's song, not really giving much criticism, but saying that it kind of blew them out of the water. So yeah, I was really happy to hear that. And I'm super happy to hear that Bambi Thug is going to Eurovision. Despite what everyone's saying, I think the song is amazing. I think it's a unique song. I think it'll definitely help to make Ireland qualify out of the semifinals for once again in the past, like, 10 years. I don't know. The last time they qualified for a semifinal was, like, I was, like not even a teenager. I was, like, very little when they last qualified. I think all the way back in 2018. Like, yeah, so it's not that long ago, but again, they haven't qualified in 2022, 2021, 2019, 2017, 16, 15, 14. Like, this is a long time that they haven't qualified properly or consistently, and if they did, they kind of performed pretty poorly in the final. Like, Ryan O'Shaughnessy, I think, only finished, like, 18th, and I don't know who represent Ireland in 2013, but they finished last. So, really, Ireland really hasn't had a left-hand side finish since like a long time ago. So that's something that we really need to look into, and how can we make Bambi staging is really important. And I think obviously there's going to be a huge like difference between the staging at Eurosong versus the staging at Eurovision, because of course you're in the hands of SVT and Malmö, and I think it's going to be very different staging. So I think that we can definitely, I think it's pretty much guaranteed, especially with the 100% qualifying with the 100% like televote semi. I think if that's the case, I think Bambi Thug is a pretty much guaranteed qualifier to the finals. If it's juries, I would say still pretty much highly likely. I don't know if it's like secured, but very highly likely to qualify in either retrospect. And in terms of the final, I would say maybe 10th to 15th. Which is, a lot of people are going to say, oh my god, that's so high, but trust me, hear me out, and just wait till May, and you'll see that I was right. But I definitely think that this is going to be a really underrated song, huge staging potential, and huge televote potential as well. So yeah, massive congratulations to Bambi Thug, you're going to do amazing in Eurovision, and I'm glad to see that Ireland's kind of switching up the songs that they're sending now. So now we're going to move on to Czechia with the song Pedestal from the artist Aiko. So that was a snippet from Shekia, from the artist Aiko with the song Pedestal. And again, time for another hot take, but I also really love this song as well. Yeah, I was completely blown away from hearing it for the first time. Of course, I'm going to get a lot of comments saying that, oh, well, have you listened to the ESC yet? Oh, the staging is so bad. Oh, she can't sing live. Or, oh, it's so bad live. Like, okay, I get it's good. I get the live performance wasn't stellar. But again, this was selected all the way back in December. And this was the second song selected for Eurovision. So again, plenty of time to figure things out. And I think that was the same thing I said for France as well. Like, there's going to be a lot of time to improve the song, and I think that's why France chose Sliman so early, is because they had a song ready to go, and they're like, okay, so we can work at this as much as we want now until May, and we can basically make this the most perfect Eurovision song ever. So I think that's kind of what could happen with Aiko as well. Now, do I think it's going to be the most perfect Eurovision song ever? No, because it's reserved for one song and one song only. Miss Victoria from 2021. Other than that, nothing else can compare. I think that this will come much higher than people think in the final. I think firstly, let's talk about the song first before I talk about its predictions. But I think that this song is really underrated by everyone. I mean, just taking a quick listen to the studio version, it sounds like a really professional and polished pop song. Of course, Aiko has numerous experience in the general media, like worldwide, being the first person from Czechia to represent the country in that Spotify Equal campaign as well. So she was on Times Square. That's a fun fact. If we look at the ESCZ obviously took place all the way back in early December, December 4th, and the results were revealed on December 13th. There was a big discrepancy between the Czech votes and the international votes, because the Czech votes almost all voted for Ellie with the Angel share, which actually was originally my national final winner before I switched to Aiko. But the international votes all voted for Aiko. So this makes me think that Aiko's song has massive televote potential. And I think that because so many people tuned in, they were like, we want Aiko, we want Aiko. I think this definitely helped to push the song into some kind of televote spotlight. And I think that can definitely be useful at ESC, especially with those televote-only semifinals. I think this, it's pretty, like, what the song reminds me of is almost Delia from 2023, Power. Obviously, like, Dilly's song is a little bit more quiet, and obvious. And when listening to what Aiko was talking about the song, Aiko was saying that the song came out of like a lot of anger. So I think the song is different in that retrospect. But yeah, I think that the song is definitely a televote potential song. I mean, I love the comparison. Like, I don't even have to look at the lyrics for this, because again, it's so catchy. It's like, put myself on a pedestal, I will be loving me more. And like that line is like really, really catchy. And I think that's like something that's gonna help to stick in the minds of like televoters, especially at Eurovision. Do I think this song is like is gonna be like top 10 material? No. Possibly because we only have a few songs and I'm waiting on a lot of countries to reveal their top songs, but I think that Czechia is probably going to qualify again. I know I'm kind of announcing the predictions before I talk about the rest of the song, but I think that the song has the potential to qualify from a semifinal, especially if it's all televote. I would say maybe like fourth to sixth in the semi in that case. And if it was juries, I'd say maybe seventh to ninth. And then if in the case that that Aiko does make the final, which I do think is pretty likely, I would say that, I would predict maybe like 17th to 22nd in the final, which isn't bad. Again, making the final is its own accomplishment. So I would say that making, like, going all the way to the final and making 17th is an amazing accomplishment. And I think there's so much pressure. Of course, everyone in Eurovision is in it to win it, obviously. Unless you're not, which maybe that's a bad attitude to have. But Everyone's in it to win it, but I think everyone in the final and everyone who really took that opportunity to go to Eurovision in the first place should be really proud of themselves. I mean, you're standing on the world's biggest stage in front of 250 million people all over the world who can have varying thoughts about your song. Some people may really love it, some people may really hate it. And honestly, these artists should be really proud of themselves because that's not a really easy thing to do. That's really difficult, and I can't see many people having that kind of courage to go out and do that. So I think, like, before we start to criticize, we should start thinking that, oh, like, sure, something may not, like, be perfect now, but we can fix it. And maybe there's going to be a televote appeal. Maybe there's going to be an appeal for this. I think that's definitely going to be the case for Aiko. Definitely going to have a lot of televote potential. Juries are interesting people. I hope this year they actually take up what we suggested last time, which was like having a more diverse and representative jury, so different genres, more metal, more country, more maybe rap if there's rap songs, and a more diverse age group as well, because I remember that a lot of the people on the juries were in like that 40 plus age range, and they tended to prefer Loreen's Tattoo, whereas Gadia's song more appealed to younger generations. So having that balanced age range as well would be useful. But yeah, so we'll see. I think definitely with a lot of work on the stage and work on vocals, I think vocals working on for the next like few months is crucial for Aiko, because if not, she's not going to do well with the juries. Maybe not even with a televote, because we've heard some songs that have flopped live because of how bad their vocals are. I'm flashing back now to 2022 for Austria and Cyprus because of how bad the vocals ended up being live. And they both ended up not qualifying despite holding high positions of in predictions. Like, for example, like Austria was like, what, 8th? And Cyprus was in the top 10, maybe. But both ended up not qualifying because the vocals were not strong. So I think Aiko's biggest focus right now should be working on the vocals. And then other than that, making sure the stage is something that's appealing to everyone. This song has a lot of staging potential, so they just need to find something. It'd be really cool if they had like flying pedestals from the sky, or like maybe something like the concept of like Love is Forever from 2019 with like a big like swing or something, and or something, I don't know. I'd love to like one day be like a staging designer, and it would be really fun to get to know like all the staging and get to like design some really cool stages. I don't know, that sounds like a really cool career. But yeah, that was my thoughts on Aiko's pedestal from Czechia. Again, really, you should be really proud of yourself, Aiko. This song is amazing. I personally really love it. It's on my playlist already. And yeah, so now it's time to move on to our last song of today, which is from Albania, from the artist Besa, with the song Zemrenendore. And I'm really sorry if I mispronounced that. So that was a snippet from Albania's Zemrendore from Besa, who won, of course, Festival I Këngës late December, actually. So that made it the third song and the second national final song of Eurovision 2024. Honestly, I think that I tend to often sleep on Albanian songs, either because I don't really know what the lyrics mean, or maybe because I just don't, like, connect to it very well. I know, like, oftentimes there are cultural themes that I just don't really connect with as much, so I tend to not really understand the song as much. But honestly, I really like Zemrendore. I really hope I'm pronouncing that properly, Zemrendore. But honestly, that was a really like underrated song. When it first came out in the studio version, it's like a really powerful song almost. Like I don't really understand what it means too much, but I think we'll do a little bit of a lyric deep dive right now. But it's actually a really like powerful lead vocal song. I think this is like obviously Albania gets a lot of televote support as well. So I think this would be I think this would be really, really, really good for the televote, but also good for the vocals now too. I mean, good for the juries as too, because the vocals are actually serving in this case. Okay, so I can't pronounce anything in Albanian, and I don't really want to offend anyone by trying it. So I do know that Zënëndore in English means heart and hand, which is actually a really beautiful, beautiful song to know. Like, I'm holding your heart, like holding your heart in my hands. Like, that's like a really powerful song title. So that's like a 1 point for that jury, like for the juries that are really gonna like that. I also, okay, I'm gonna read the English lyrics, but there's a line that's like sugar and blood, you poison my veins, like little by little, like a rope, you squeezed my heart. Like, that's like a really good use of like imagery and lyrics. Like, I don't know if it's seen the same way, but I really, really like that, honestly. I know last year I was really disappointed by Duye winning for Albania, because I wanted Elsa Lila to win for Evita, but and again, Elsa Lila was technically my winner, but Besa was like a very, very close second this year. So I was not mad at all that Besa ended up winning, because the song was really, really great. Albania's final just kind of confuses me a little bit, because there's like firstly so many songs, and again, Albania is one of those countries that you don't need to have like this festival in order to just select a Eurovision participant. Like, you, like, this festival runs on its own like cultural like or national like interests as well, like just like Sanremo. It doesn't require it just doesn't require a lot of it doesn't require a lot of like Eurovision interest in order for it to succeed. I think that's very obvious in the fact that it's like a very long festival. They have things like Nostalgia Night. I know there was like a big like controversy this year with like the Nostalgia Night, and I don't know if it was this year or last year, but there was some kind of controversy with the Nostalgia Night at FIK. But honestly, this year I didn't have a chance to watch everything, but I did watch some of it, like Nostalgia Night, some of the semis, and I was watching a little bit of the final as well, as best as I could without knowing the language very well. But I did think that it's a really well put together final, and year after year they continue to show that it's like a very like artistically put together final. And despite the system being very weird, I thought it was very interesting overall. I actually saw here that the favorite to win FIK at the time was Luan's song Persaritja. Again, please forgive me for the pronunciation of Albanian songs, but Persaritja from Luan was the favorite, and then Elsa Lila, and then Besa. I actually thought it was very interesting that this is one of the only finals that it's 100% jury for the winner of Festival Kinkis, but for the Eurovision, it's 100% televote. So no matter how good your song is in terms of the juries, if it's not well liked by the televote, you're probably not going to be going to Eurovision. And that's kind of like, because do I think that the Festival Kinkis winner would do good at Eurovision? No. But do I think that the Eurovision winner would do good at Eurovision? Probably, yeah. So I think that it might be good just to have one winner and that one winner receive both. But again, I don't really know too much about like the prizing in the contest. I do know that this festival does create a lot of opportunities for musicians in Albania, and it helps to create like a lot of regional and local awareness as well, which is great, and I think that's really awesome. And not everyone also wants to go to Eurovision at FIK. Like, there's a lot of people who just wanted to win FIK for winning that trophy as well, winning that like prize, because it helps to like boost their local success, which can be like really vital for them as an artist. Like, for example, if this was brought over to where I was, like in my country, I think it, like, despite wanting to go on a global stage, I think, like, getting that, like, local success is really important as well, because you can do a lot of things. You can sell more music, you can do more local concerts, and that's, like, a really great way to make your name more visible in your country as well. So that's just a little note about FIK and, like, the little, like, difference between their winners, because I know this is the only national final, I think, where the winner is not the same as the national final winner, because again, this doesn't operate as a, oh, this is only created for Eurovision, like ESCZ, or like UMK, or MGP, like, all of those national finals are created specifically for choosing a winner for Eurovision. Things like Sanremo and FIK are not. They're actually, Sanremo predated Eurovision, so they actually were from a while ago. So it's actually pretty interesting to see the differences between the two and how they're set up. So that's my thoughts on FIK and BESA. Another note about BESA's song is that there could be a possibility of either a revamp and or changing of the song completely. We haven't really gotten too much notice about it, but if it does happen, when I do make that next video about all of the songs again, I'll make sure to note that change down as well. But I think for now, this song is really beautiful. I think that BESA's song is really powerful in terms of like the way that she commands the stage. Like, didn't have the best staging concepts in any of the songs, really. I didn't really find that was really well done for FIK, but again, maybe budget reasons, or I don't know. But honestly, BESA really commanded that stage and did a really great job. That's my thoughts on BESA's song. Hopefully they keep Zemrendore, because I actually really like that song and it could actually do really well at Eurovision. And speaking of doing well at Eurovision, my prediction is if it's in a televote only semifinal, I think it's going to come 7th to 9th. And I think it's going to pretty much follow the same route as Duye. And I think it's going to finish in that like 17th to 22nd position in the final. Some of you may disagree with me saying that, oh, it's probably not even going to qualify. Some are going to say, oh, it's going to probably make the top 10. But that's kind of just my opinion. I think it's going to kind of come middle of the road, just like Duye did. It's not that it's a bad song. I think it's just the way that the songs are positioned now. We haven't really seen as anything like, another song that was, I remember in the Czechia portion of the podcast, I was talking about how it was important to maintain visual vocals, but one of the songs that was also taken, was non-qualified because of this, was Ronella in 2022 for Albania. So we haven't really seen as something as like different as Secret in 2022. So that may mean that Albania could not qualify this year, but I think it's still unlikely because Albania is one of those countries that does usually have a lot of televote support. It's a really well, like really popular country, I guess, almost. Yet they never seem to like get a lot of jury points, which is frustrating. So maybe this year the juries will be different and give some more points to Albania. Maybe with that new change, can definitely help to support Albania's success this year. That is the end of the podcast today. Today I've went over France, Ireland, Czechia, and Albania. Honestly, in my opinion, Eurovision is starting off really strong this year with 4 amazing songs and plenty more amazing songs to come. If I had to rank today's songs, I would say France, Ireland, Czechia, and then Albania, but that doesn't mean that any of the songs are bad. I just think that the songs are all going to be really competitive this year, and I think that the final is going to be amazing, and the songs are just going to be super awesome. So yeah, thank you for listening to the first episode of Is It a Hot Take for Season 2, and if you want to stay updated with all things Eurovision, head on over to @thedouceplant on Instagram, that is @thedouceplant. We want to thank you for listening to this episode and stay tuned for episode 2 of Is It a Hot Take? Bye!